Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. Ah, how are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And we had a good time over here on this due time with Pastor Steph as we get over the first half of the week into the second half of the week. So, what did we talk about? Well, we started off with our girlfriend Vivian in our socially conscious segment. And the first hit of the week, thank God for those decreases in COVID numbers. Yes. All righty. And she talked about the extension on the eviction status that, you know, they kind of keeping us in our place, you know, secure, you know, just in case, you know, you're really having a hard time. You know, the government is holding it down. And, you know, it's really, really a good and bad thing. It's been extended to August of 22. So, you know, we have been blessed, but, you know, somebody always got to mess it up. You know, we had our basketball friend, AJ West, who is renting a unit, but also using the unit as an Airbnb. Yeah, for videos and all kind of things. And, of course, that stuff comes with gunfire and melee or hours of the night. The other renters can get their rest or peace that they're paying for. And he hasn't paid his own rent. How you renting an Airbnb and you not paying rent? What kind of mess is that? I don't know. And, you know, we can't really, you know, you really, it's almost like you everybody got to mess something up. You know, it's no matter how smooth and of a blessing this thing has been designed to be, somebody got to mess it up. So that's how we started our morning off. And we then had the women of worship, minus one, but Lady Tamika and Pastor Kim held it down beautifully as we talked about the breakdown between parent and child. Yes, you know, the day before we had our breakdown and, you know, of leadership, you know, and how we lack respect for the church. Well, yesterday we did it parent and child style. And we got to some interesting points that they were making, and they said one of the reasons why there's a breakdown is because there's a minimizing of your child's feelings. And yeah, we talked about that, and you know, it's you know, Lady Tamika brought up something that was really interesting, a name that her mom would, you know, say from time to time that really, really, really just kind of got underneath her skin. And what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do when that's coming off your tongue and, you know, your child doesn't like it and, you know, you just keep doing it? Because, you know, it really did call my attention yesterday to my own behavior. Yeah, I confessed and told that I have a daughter, one of three, and there's stuff that, you know, there's something that I say to her, and she can't stand it. So they say, you know, part of the breakdown is when we continuously do things and we're not paying attention to their feelings. Yeah, I'm saying we. Yeah, I'm saying we. And one of the other things they mentioned is the fact that we always, you know, we're going too far and we always save them from failure too often. And another, you know, hit that, you know, you take from time to time, you know, I'm telling you, this is a wake-up call. Yesterday I was thinking about it, and I'm kind of tough on my girls. I am, you know, I was a single mom. So, you know, there's things that, you know, you can't tolerate, or either, you know, they be buck wilding on you. And I have very good girls in the grand scheme of things, and, you know, never had to take them off a pole, and, you know, never had to drag them out of crack house, you know. So I've been quite blessed. And when you think about the flip side of always saving them from failure, it's almost like a remote thing that happens as a parent. You know, you don't look for these things to go on. You don't think that you're saving them from failure too much. But I realized yesterday that even in my tough moments as a mom, there were probably some opportunities that I took, and I didn't look at it as, you know, always saving them from failure. You know, they may not think of it like that because, like I said, mom was tough. But mom is still tough, by the way. But, you know, it gives you something to think about. You know, there's times you step in, you know, for those of you who need further explanation, those times we step in that we really needed to step back. And that, man, that's hard because you do definitely want to throw out the rescue mat and, you know, stuff like that. And there are times when you want to, but you can't. Yeah, you know, maybe sometimes when they need to do something and you just don't have the funds and you just really wish that you did, and other times when, you know, you are guilty, you know. So I'm giving it up this morning, you know, just really had me thinking about some things. And you know what? I give God thanks for that, because that's what It's Due Time with Pastor Steph has been designed to do. You know, when God comes through and shakes that tree, you know, are you going to fall off that tree, or out that tree, rather? You're going to, you know, there's some leaves that are going to, you know, that's going to shake, you know, like fall time. And when you look, there's brown leaves everywhere. And, you know, it's good because it's pruning. And God talks about that, you know, in his word. And, you know, giving God thanks for those times where he speaks and you listen. Yep. So my question to you is, were you listening yesterday? Mm-hmm. You know, what came across your lap that you really had to say, you know, wait a minute, I might be, even if it was once or twice, you know, I might have been guilty of that. Well, it makes you alert, and it sends those antennas up. And I give God thanks for that. You know, I'm not mad at it. I'm really not mad at it. I'm, you know, my girls are grown, and, you know, the baby's 22 and far from being a baby. But, you know, now I do, you know, survey in my brain, you know, some stuff. And when those things, those opportunities come across, I got to rethink it. Is that what God wants me to do? Because I don't need it to be a breakdown between parent and child at this time of my life. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm telling you, I paid attention yesterday. Okay? So, we had Dwayne come on through yesterday, and in Pastor Charlene's ill state, yeah, she's doing that coughing thing again, and throat is raw, he came through, and he did not give us techie talk yesterday, but instead a personal testimony. And, you know, lo and behold, it linked right up with our breakdown of parent and child. And you know, we've been praying for him and the loss of his daughter. And he came through talking yesterday, and he gave us some faith over fear time, you know. So he didn't tell us about faith over fear, but the time span was there, and some very interesting testimony. So we give God thanks for all that we learned. You know, time does not belong to us by far. And we have to definitely pay attention to the things that we're doing and the time that we're spending with our children. You know, when he told the story of when, you know, she first learned about the cancer, it was already in stage 4, you know, and most people don't walk out of that, you know, and there was some time that was spent. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, it's not where, you know, there was time to, you know, like you had another 15 years on your life. You know, some people have, you know, have been diagnosed with illnesses, and things have taken place, and there's some healing and some, you know, work that's done, and, you know, it gives them quite a few years. Well, this was not one of them. And, you know, we have to think about times like that. So it was something to think about yesterday. Yes, yesterday was something to think about as we went through that Wow Wednesday. Yes. So, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, the moment we take to talk about our health, and whether it's physical health, mental health, emotional health, and definitely the spiritual health, we definitely, you know, deal with. And we got a nice little addition for you today. And I know you'll enjoy it. The Due Time Crew is in the house. So anytime the Due Time Crew is in the house, you know, you just don't know what you're going to come up with. And they're checking in right now as we speak. And I get excited when I see those names start popping up. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to miss our girl, Pastor Charlene, again today, because she's in that recovery mode. And she's going to listen, and she's going to participate on that side of the line. So, hey, Pastor Charlene, good morning to you. Miss you, girl. Miss you. So let me make sure I give you this number, just in case your, you know, your internet gets a little wacky, just in case you want to join the conversation. Oh, feel free to do so, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. If you want to text, we got you. We hooked you up with that too, 347-285-7777. Again, that number is 347-285-7777. Yes. So make sure you hit us up, because when we're talking today, you just might be interested, you know, in joining the conversation, because there may be some things that you thought of and you think of, in other words, as we speak, might be flashing through your mind. So come on. I welcome you, as always, to join the party. And we're going to take a break so that you can go and get that healthy breakfast. We're going to take a break so you can go and tell a friend about It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we're going to take a break so you can get some information, okay? So make sure you hang on, because we want to make sure you don't miss anything. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Thompson, and this is my dog, Ellie. The most common disease in dogs and cats in America is a gum infection known as periodontal disease. Untreated, it shortens their lives, causes pain they can't tell us about. Just like people, pets need a professional dental cleaning at least once a year, beginning at 1 year of age. To learn more, go to ahna.net. See your veterinarian to begin a dental care program for your pet, and your pet will thank you by living longer and being more comfortable.
Well, good morning. Good morning. And good morning to you. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph on this Therapeutic Thursday morning. Yes, Therapeutic Thursday. We're almost to the end of the week, and this is the day we talk about health, whether it's emotional health, mental health, physical health, or spiritual health. Did I say all the four health? You know how I get when I start talking. So let's do that again. Come on, help me. We got mental health, emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. Okay? Now, last week, we had a hollering good time. And, man, you talk about laughter is the best medicine. Man, we should all be healed. So we're looking forward to having a good old time with you, and we want to thank you for joining us. We could not do it without you. Yes, I tell you, we couldn't. Not at all. So what are we talking about this morning? You know, we always got to go through our wow news, you know, not like Vivian's wow news, but our wow news nonetheless, these crazy people. Well, we're starting off this morning talking about, which one we want to do first, the teacher who hit the child in the head three times, who had disabilities. Yes, well, clearly she's a disability teacher. You know what we you know, everybody's not a regular ed teacher. You know, children with disabilities have their own class settings, and she resigned after she was charged with abuse or neglect of a disabled child. Yep, in Utah. Yeah, it's boring out there. So maybe she had nothing else to do. So she definitely did the wrong thing. And she was a behavioral aide. Well, no, the behavioral aide told a story that Ms. Bell, who's 57, was upset and annoyed back in February because the children were having a difficult time paying attention. And it was the end of the day. And you know how it goes at the end of the day for all of us at one time or another. You know, your patience gets the best of you. And what happened was, Ms. Bell tripped over a 7-year-old child, and another child started mimicking her and falling on the students. Well, she did not like that at all, and she tried to, call herself getting the children under control and taking care of the issue. And the witness said that she saw Ms. Bell hit the student, who was on his knees, 3 times in the back of his head. And the child cried and said, "You hit me, you hit me." Now, they say that this particular child is significantly disabled and has limited verbal capacity. Well, she was put on administrative leave, and then she resigned last month, back in April. And, thank God he was not seriously injured. But the allegation was serious enough that they had to investigate and subsequently charge her. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. You work in an environment with disabled children. Now, we're not talking about the learning disabled in this particular instance. We're talking about truly children with disabilities. And, she didn't like the fact that he mimicked her. And you then took your hand and slapped the back of the child's head 3 times. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. It seemed like since this COVID thing came out that we really, really, really have been losing it. Now, I don't know if it's the COVID thing, or it's just been kind of hidden, But these teachers, we have never heard of so many teachers acting inappropriately or doing things, before now. I mean, they have literally gone buck wild, slapped the child in his head 3 times. Now, listen, I'm going to go, you know what I'm going to do. Come on. You know what? I'm calling out to Tamika. You know what I'm going to do, girl. Come on. You know what I'm going to do. Okay, so let's start off by saying it's a school in Utah called Silver Hills Elementary. Now, had this been a school named, Rosa Parks or Harriet Tubman School, we know that this would have been a very different story. Yeah, as well as I know, this story would have taken a definite curve, and Miss 57-year-old Cindy Bell, she would have been putting her dukes up. She would have been hoping. She would have been hoping that they would have snatched her up and charged her with something, because that would have been on the lighter side of what she would have experienced had a parent shown up to this school. Because I'm telling you, had this been on the other side of the tracks, baby, would it not have been a different news story? Oh, yeah. Because the police being involved would have been on a real ending of this story. Because what are you doing? How are you putting your hands on the children? You slapping somebody upside their head 3 times? Well. Somebody would have been slapping you upside the head 3 times. So, they're charging her with abuse or neglect of a disabled child. And, and the little one couldn't even really relay how he felt. What did he say? "You hit me, you hit me." Baby, baby, baby. I tell you, we got to pray for our children in these schools. You know, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. We, you know, they have been encouraging and really wanting you to send your children back to school with these teachers losing it like this. Man, they needed to be in the school teaching one another while we were in quarantine. Because clearly they didn't lost it while they were in quarantine for whatever amount of time they've been in. Because I don't ever remember hearing so many stories of these parents, these teachers, excuse me. So, what else are we talking about today? Okay. They say a man, 27, was charged with, oh, goodness gracious. He's charged with, let me see now. Okay, let me just start from the beginning. Let me just start again instead of talking about what he's charged with. All right. And I saved this one for last because this stuff, again, they're losing it. They say that the police say that this man beat and gave a date rape drug to a toddler. Yeah, I stopped talking. A date rape drug. So the mother, this was her boyfriend, the mother, she was dating this guy, the mother reported that her 2-year-old son took this injury or injuries at the hands of her boyfriend. Yes, he's 2. And they said that he had to undergo tests after numerous bruises were discovered on his head, torso, back, arms, and legs. Okay, let me say this again. He's 2 and had to undergo tests after numerous bruises were discovered on his head, torso, back, arms, and legs. It would have had to have been that type of beating because he's only got one little body, so wherever you hit him, you're going to be hitting several places at the same time. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but when they gave him the blood test, he tested positive for what they call MDA, which is a hallucinogenic stimulant that is closely related to ecstasy. Come. Oh, my gosh. Come on, people. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, my gosh. They say they also have bruises and blows to his face as well. So mom went to work. She left the child with her boyfriend. And this is how she found him after 7 hours. Okay, so they sent the man who's being charged, you know, for mental evaluation, and they sentenced him in about 3 months, and he is facing up to 15 years in prison, but he's free on a $30,000 bond. How do you let somebody out? How do you let somebody out? Okay, how? Oh, I tell you, I'm losing it here because I can't figure out what. How do you give a date rape drug to a 2-year-old? They already sleep. You know, these little people, they sleep all the time. And I mean, yes, they always say, you know, the terrible twos. But come on now. His little body not only endured all of the bruising, but now you're talking about you giving him a date rape drug? Okay, so this is why people are paranoid to leave their children with a daycare provider. But more stuff is happening when they leave the children with someone they know. Come on, this whole year, how many stories have we gone over where the abuse was from someone that the child knew? Wasn't no stranger. Teachers, boyfriends, you know, parents. These children are really, really suffering now. Really suffering now. She's trying to get a day's pay. And I don't know. See, here's my question. Do you see signs of this behavior or the possibility of this behavior before you leave the children? I don't know. And I will say, as a person who has experienced domestic violence, and, you know, you don't, before they start, you don't know. But there's always a sign. When I think about, when I go back into my memory bank and I think about the signs of, you know, what was said or done, and I'm like, I should have paid attention to that. You know, I should have known when I saw that or heard that. Now it makes, you know, I put that in the same context of the children. Do we really know that they're capable of this stuff, doing this to our children, prior to the act being done? Prior to you having to go to the store or prior to you having to go to the job, you know, do we see some type of rile up, you know? Is there a precipitation of this action? Help me out. Oh, my goodness. Really, really puzzling. Very puzzling. Well, we're going to get started, and we're going to say good morning first to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al. Brother Al, are you there with us?
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to have to come back to Brother Al. He seems to be a little busy. So we're going to start with... Are you there, Brother Al?
I'm sorry. Yeah, chop. I'm so sorry. I had to give something to the... I'm at work. I was dealing with the principal. I said, out of all days, she called me first. Anyway, chop of the morning. Chop of the morning.
Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry that you were first, Brother Al. But we got to get this conversation under wraps. You know, we got to get it started. So we want to say good morning to you. And we're talking
good
about, you know, these two stories. The first story, teacher hitting a child with those disabilities, all upside the head, three times upside the head. What's your thought?
Well, there's a couple of thoughts as I was listening to the story, and now there's no excuse. There's no excuse for her to put her hands on that child. But I'm listening to the story of them saying this child, you know, he has a disability, he can't function that well, this and that. But he did have enough function to mark this teacher. So, you know, you got to look at that too. You say, oh, he's not functional, but he had enough function and sense to mark this teacher and make fun of this teacher. Now, don't get me wrong. There's no excuse for her to put her hands on that child. That's just insane. And that's one of the biggest problems that these teachers don't understand. When you're working with children, especially this generation, especially when you're working with disabled kids, the biggest thing is patience. You have to have, if you don't have patience, you can't work with children. and you can't take it personally. Because children are going to say some things. Especially, like, even here with you know, at the school I work at, the special ed students that have some issues. And you can't take it. I'll give you a quick, perfect example, right? I go around and give the lunch to the classes because they don't want them in the cafeteria because they're keeping the distance. And this one little kid, he's in the fourth grade, and his name is Evan. So I go by and say, Evan, hey, how you doing today? Would you want lunch? He looked at me and said, lunch? I tell you every day, no. Get out of here. Don't ask me that again. That's what he said to me. So, of course, Pastor Steph, I looked at him with the look of death. But I can't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You can't take it personal. I mean, and you should have seen it. Pastor Steph, he said it with so much strength. You ask me this every day. No, I don't want it. Get out of here and don't come back here again. I said, okay, Evans. All right, Lord Evans, I hear you. What time you get out of school today? I'll meet you at 3 o'clock. You know, and I know he got issues. You know, the thing is, I know he got issues. So it is so funny because I advocate for, talk to a lot of people. They have me talk to people because they're like, Al, how do you deal with it? Because you can't take it personal, and you have to have patience. You got to know what you're dealing with. And for her to put her hand on us, dude, that's crazy. And like you said, if it was a different name school, people would be lined out outside waiting for her. What time did so-and-so come out? All right, I'll be by her car when she come out.
That's right. That's right, that's right. Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo! That was funny. Thank you, Brother Al, for getting us started. See, I tell you, laughter is best medicine. I would love to know how many people were listening and cracking up at that story.
I'm telling you, Pastor, he put me through it, Pastor. I'm going to see him again this morning at breakfast. He has his different modes. Sometimes I, look, tell you that, Pastor, sometimes I come by, now you're talking about fourth grader now, little kid, he's little too. I come by and I'm like, hey, good morning, Evans, you want breakfast? He'll just wave me off like, get out of here. I go, yo, this little kid torturing me. He torturing me, Pastor. He torturing me.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I know you ate the lunchtime. You see, when your stomach starts growling, you'll see me.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That is hilarious. All right, so let's switch gears. We're talking about this poor little two-year-old who has bruises all over his little body and face, and then has a hallucinogenic drug in his system. What's wrong with these people, Brother Al? Come on, what's wrong with them?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're going crazy. Absolutely insane. Remember what I said? I said there's some shows back. They are an attack on our children. We got to pray. You know, that's insane. You're going to give this a two-year-old. First of all, you shouldn't be giving nobody a date rape drug in the first place.
Right.
That's number
right.
one.
Why do you
and
have
then,
it?
And then you're going to – right. Why do you have it? So obviously you got intentions on something, you know, and then on top of that, beat the child. You know, like I said, you know, sentences in jail is too much. You know, you got to go to the extreme with people like this. Like, I wouldn't even put him in jail. I'll make him suffer. I'm going to cut his eyelids off and give him sleeping pills.
Give him the hallucinogenic drug.
And give him the hallucinogenic drug and give him sleeping pills, and he ain't going to be able to close his eyes to sleep, so he's going to suffer.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it is madness. It is madness.
Madness.
And
absolutely.
It is. It's pretty crazy. And they don't deserve this treatment. They don't deserve this treatment.
They
but
don't.
Thank you
they
so
no, they're innocent
Brother
kids.
Al. Yes, they are. You know, they don't deserve this treatment. They didn't ask to come here. They didn't ask to come here in the situations that they're born in. So really, they're really suffering in so many ways. Thank you so much, Brother Al, for getting our morning started. Let's say good morning to our girlfriend, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Talking about these two storylines. Well, the teacher who hit the disabled child upside the head three times. What you got to say?
Well, you know, I when it comes to children, you know, of all ages, it doesn't matter whether they're disabled or not. They are my heart. I'm like the advocate for children all over the world. And for you to take your hand, you know, and put your hand on my child, like it's already been said, had it been in a school, you know, near me, you know, because I know my area where I'm at, it would have been a totally different thing. Because as soon as my child said, you just a hiccup, you know, it might have just been a hiccup in the process of trying to, you what? I'm there already. Before my child could even get the word out, I had already got there. I'm in the school with a punching bag, with a punching glove on my hand, you know, trying to handle
absolutely, like that other parent. That's right.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Like Brother Al said, you would have had parents up there. They ain't even their kid. They would have been up there cutting
absolutely.
Up.
Me and the entire
child.
Village.
That's right.
Wow,
that's right, girl.
Right
that's right. Especially if you lived in certain neighborhoods of the hood. Yeah, it would have been on up out there.
Exactly.
She would have needed a bodyguard and several of them to come up out that school, because that is definitely something that would not have been accepted and tolerated. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. How about our little 2-year-old
I have an Uncle Rufus
type...
that would be looking for her.
Ooh, girl. We got to remember Uncle Rufus. Oh, my. Oh, just that name alone. You don't know if you're going to crack up laughing or you're going to be fearing him. I don't know. But either way,
no
Uncle
offense
Rufus,
to the real Rufuses out there.
Right. No offense. No pun intended. But, I got to tell you, if I heard that you had an Uncle Rufus, I think I'm moving. Or I'm going to be real well-behaved.
Mm-hmm.
Real well-behaved.
Uncle Rufus ain't no joke.
Goodness.
He mean it.
Ooh, child. Too bad there are not more Uncle Rufuses for these teachers. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're a mess.
Absolutely.
They're an absolute mess. Our Tyke, who had, you know, he took a beating about the body, the face, and the hallucinogenic drug. What's wrong with these people, Tamika?
I simply don't understand. First of all, the fact that you had the drug, you know, how do you get access to that type of stuff? I mean, who do you know? Who have you been around? And there had to be signs for the mother. You're in a relationship with this individual, so are you not tuning into those triggers, those things that make you go, well, why did he say, or why did he do, or that action didn't seem, something had to tell you, you know, before it got to this point, you know. And again, if you're engaging in a relationship and you have a child, you have to be oh so very careful who you bring around your children. And, you know, if I had a child, you know, I'd be very, very careful. I mean, it'd take a couple of years before you see my baby about grown now. Oh, this is my baby right here. He's what? He's how old? Yeah, I am extremely, you know, cautious about my baby. And, you know, you left your baby, your 2-year-old, in the hands of somebody who literally destroyed him. You know, that was premeditated. And then the thing that gets me is, was it really intended for the child? Did you do it out of anger? We don't know what his motive was. Was it actually supposed to be for her? We have no idea. But the fact that you assaulted a 2-year-old, you know, somebody who hasn't done anything to you, or can't do anything to you, not to that degree, I just don't get it.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And, again, you know, I agree with you. My thing is, you know, okay, so if he had this stuff in his possession, you know, has he been taking it himself? Because if he has, then, oh, boy, you know, what kind of behavior
right.
had he been exemplifying that made you comfortable enough to leave him as a babysitter for 7 hours. That's what it says. She went to work for 7 hours, and well, clearly she's not one of those mothers who, you know, who take up for the boyfriend, because she was the one who came home, found a child, and she reported it. So thank God that she was that kind of mother and not one of these other mothers. So I tell you, girl, there's so much to think about. It's so much, you know, to be on alert for. We just got finished talking about, you know, dating and making sure your dating is in a godly manner. Man, you're going to have to know Jesus in order to date out here, Tamika.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you already have a child. So I have to be cautious for my little one.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Yiggity yang, yiggity yang yang.
How are you today?
I'm good today.
All righty. So we're talking about this Utah teacher who slapped the child with disabilities in the head 3 times. What say you?
I say if it was anybody that I know, the whole class is handicapped now. The whole class has a disability, including the teacher. Now they're calling a professor because she's about to be downgraded. When Tawanda and Baquita and them get to that school, it's going to be over.
Absolutely, Minister AJ, absolutely. You know, I'm gonna ask you this. As a dad, you hear your child, whether disabled or not, but especially disabled, what do you say when you get up to this school?
Well, I'm definitely asking, you know, did you hit my child? Because if you lie, it's going to be even worse, you know. And what's your motive for hitting my child? You know that they're disabled or handicapped, and you hit them, like, you know, what are they doing that's so bad? And if you can't handle them, I'm pretty sure, and then my question is if you're doing this to my child, how many other children have you hit? You know, maybe you just don't have the patience to be, you know, working with these type of children. Maybe you should be somewhere else. So I'm definitely going to act before my hands leave my side. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Maybe you had a in case you had a real good reason, you know. I'm going to give you an opportunity before I lay hands.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're talking about the little tyke, 2 years old, physically abused, and given the date rape drug.
Yeah. I really believe, Tamika, Lady Tamika hit the hammer on the nail. Like, there was no signs. Like, there's no type of signs. There has to be a type of signs. If you're around a person, because I don't know. I've never just left my kids with anybody. And I got to really know you and, you know, make sure my kids are talking and they, you know, that they can say what's going on. I'm just not an advocate for that. Like, just leaving my kids with anybody. So I'm pretty sure there was some signs, and I think we just ignore the signs. Or I don't know if the mother was skeptical and if she said she going to test the waters out and the test went too far. Nah. Not leaving my 2-year-old.
Wow. And, you know, you say a lot because, again, as a mother of 3, you know, you watch who you put your children in the care of. And it's crazy because, all right, so they have their 3 wide gaps between the 3 of them. But, you know, they were just 3 different children, and, you know, you wanted to make sure that whoever kept them, you know, were people who were, you know, alert and aware of, you know, who they were. You know, Shawnee's walked off from everybody. She just would walk off. she just walk off. You would just stand there, and she would just walk off. Not intentionally. She would just walk off. So I couldn't even leave her with certain family members because I'm like, okay, y'all ain't going to watch my child like that. Y'all be over there talking, and she'll be over in Mexico somewhere, and you would before you even missed her. Because it wouldn't be no whole bunch of noise she made. She just would just walk off. So, you know, you make a really big point. You know, you really have to watch. But all of you have, you know, pretty much said it over time that you really got to watch who watches your children. And you got to know who you're leaving your children with. So very valid point. Very valid point. Very valid point. You know, you got to know.
I'm sorry.
No, go.
Even two, we call it the terrible twos. So that's at the stage where they're getting into stuff, they're exploring.
Right.
And so now,
right.
You know, terrible twos, you know, that you got a whole lot to deal with. And now if I come
right.
home and my child is up on some drugs, now you're going to deal with the terrible 40s. Maybe you want to see the terrible 40s. Yeah. Yeah, give my kid something. Yeah. All right.
Well, you know, and that's another good point. Again, you got to know your child. If you're in that terrible two stage, you know, do you leave them with just anybody? Because that person got to have a whole lot of patience. That person's got to really watch your child because you don't know what they're going to do. You're always chasing the two-year-old. Don't put this in your mouth. Don't touch that. Don't go over there. You know, you got them locked in a box, you know, making sure that their parameters are very small. You know, so you're right. You know, that's an extra bonus you're getting when you say, yes, I'll watch this child. You know, you got to know that person can handle that. So really good points. Really good points.
Hey, Pastor Steph.
Yes?
Pastor, sorry to disturb you. You know, I'm listening in. And also, you know, I just want to let people know as well when it comes to children, because, you know, I've been doing this forever, and I love what I do. You know, not all the time are the people bad. You know, people have to realize also, and I mean, these stories are bad. Don't get me wrong, so I don't want anybody to think I'm justifying it. But what I wanted to put in people's head as well is that, you know, when it comes to dealing with children, even if they're not disabled or special ed, but it takes a lot. And not all of the teachers in them are bad people. It's just like you, all of us. We have had children. Our children have done some things. We got fed up and got mad. Well, it's the same way with teachers. You know, they deal with so much with these kids, the verbal abuse, even physical abuse. I've seen teachers hit. I've seen a child here tell a teacher, a fifth grader, tell a teacher, yeah, you tell me to sit down again, I'll make you lose your baby. And she was pregnant. So how you think that make her feel? So a lot of people skip past that on what the teachers and us that work with children, what we go through with the verbal abuse. And it goes and goes and goes. There's nothing you can do. You can't say nothing to them. And you sit back and you're looking like, wow, you know, I got a grown child that don't curse me out or be disrespectful. And here I got a little fourth grader cursing me out, telling me they're going to make me lose my baby. And this goes on every day until that teacher mess around and snap. And then everybody, oh, they got no business working with children. Oh, they don't know nothing about you. Oh, they haven't been trained. No, they're human beings that deal with so much until the system needs to change. And that will help out a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Al, for sharing that. So I'm a stand up because I was sitting down before you commented. So before I ask the question, we got two other people on this line that's live. It's funny because I have not mic'd our last individual who I know would be responding to that comment. But Tamika and Minister AJ, would either one of you like to ask a question or comment? Oh, okay. You're silent. That's good. Okay. So I'm not going to say, I'm not going to respond. Go ahead. Minister AJ.
I mean, a lot of times, too, when you get into a career, sometimes you know what you're dealing with. You know, you've heard stories. You know, I'm pretty sure during orientation, you've heard, I mean, even though we were talking about two-year-olds, But, you know, now fourth grade and fifth grade, a lot of times you know what you're getting into. You know, it's just like me being a clown. I got to know that if I put on a good show, I'm going to have some kids hanging on my legs. You know, something's about to go down. You know, so you know what you – and you're built for certain things. So, you know, and a teacher can always I have a teacher friend. And a lot of times, too, you can always go to the principal and say X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, this kid, da, da, da. And she said a lot of kids get moved into her class, even, like, during the year because they have behavior problems, da, da, da. And I guess the way she runs her class is so efficient that they always put the problem kids in her class. So, you know, I feel like, you know, we are built for these things. And then you can always address the parents. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tamika, did you have a comment or a question for Brother Al?
Just a statement, you know. When it comes, and I'm, again, I do understand that everybody has stress and everybody has concerns. And, you know, although I don't have any children of my own, I have taken care of children. And I have had, you know, the terrible two that I've dealt with a couple of them at the same time. And it can get overwhelming. I can't tell what other people do. However, you have to have a moment where you de-escalate, you know. Maybe you have another teacher come into the room. Because my thing is, when you start putting your hands on other people's children, that's when you've definitely gone too far. And, you know, the examples that we had thus far, you know, and on the length of actually hearing the news about children, not just today's, you know, broadcast, all of the other ones, you know, that's when it has gone too far. And at that point, you need to either verbalize, listen, I'm having a situation with this particular student, or you just, you know, need to take a break. Take a smoke break if you smoke. Take a coffee break if you drink coffee. Go make a phone call. Walk around the building. Run around. Whatever it is that you do to reset. Because when you get to the point where you're hitting children or doing any other kind of thing, that's when I think you've gone too far.
Okay. Thank you for your response. All righty. Thank you, Brother Al, again, for your comment. I'm coming back to that. But before I do that, I want to make sure we give our girl Shantice an opportunity to weigh in on our stories. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Seth and the New Time crew.
Yeah. How are you today?
I was fine until these storms came.
All right. So, follow the bouncing ball. You know what? Yeah, and you know what I mean when I say that. So we're starting off with the teacher in the classroom who, you know, got overwhelmed. And, you know, again, you know, there was a teacher. That's who gave the account of the event, another teacher in the class, and she said she had it, she could handle it, and that's how she chose to handle it. That's how she chose to handle it, slapping them upside the head 300-400 times. What you got?
You know, I'm really starting to wonder, because this is not the first, nor the second, nor the third story you presented about these teachers in these schools. And I'm really starting to wonder, is this repercussions for opening these schools during COVID when they should not be open? Because I've never heard of so much going on, especially consecutively with these teachers. It's like a zombie apocalypse or something. Like, they're possessed and they're now attacking these kids. And it's just... it's really blow mind. Like, I'm not understanding at what point you felt justified in, like it was said, and you now raising your hand and you feeling like you have the authority to touch somebody else's child. And she did that because you said he was taunting her or he was teasing her or something?
Right. That was in response to, you know, she tripped over another child. And I guess, you know, the motion of, you know, I guess kind of trying to catch a balance. And the other child who she hit, he began to mimic her. He started falling all over the other children, pretending like he was her, mimicking her. And she went to respond. And the other teacher said, you know, I'll take care of it. And she said, no, I got this. And that's how she responded.
So you got all bent out of shape because someone mimicked you. You have bigger issues in your life. Like, you were teased before. You're still getting teased. And now this misplaced anger got taken out on this baby. Because, I don't understand how, I mean, again, you're dealing with children. I mean, I know some kids who wasn't in special ed who would have mimicked her.
I know some adults who have mimicked
I was just about to say, who have mimicked less. Like less has happened, and they find the humor in anything
and mimic that.
You know what I'm saying? So she's still getting teased, and she don't know how to address the adults that are teasing her. So that misplaced anger got taken out on this baby, and she needs to be fired and hug herself all day while she sits in therapy.
Okay. I hate to bring it to you, but the 2-year-old baby who was abused through, you know, about his body and face and given a hallucinogenic drug, date rape drug.
If you don't know by now to stop leaving your kids with these quote-unquote boyfriends, it's like a contest. Like, I bet you I could leave my kid with my man and ain't nothing going to happen. I just don't understand. How do you leave your child with this man for a whole work shift? You said 7 hours, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole work shift. So it's like, what are you doing? And now you come, like, nah, he done date raped her before. He done slipped something in her drink on one of their prior dates before. So, something has happened, and now this baby, oh, my gosh. I don't, the mindset of people is just, it's like, just like Minister AJ said, the same way them teachers are set in orientation for that job, you, as a girlfriend, have heard many a time how these women have left their children with the boyfriend, and the boyfriend has either raped them, molested them, beat them, killed them, or something. It's, I don't know.
I'm just glad that I don't have other people. Yeah. All right, so I want to pose Brother Al's theory that, you know, I know they have lost it. However, they're human. They're not bad people. Let me rephrase it. They're not bad people. What's your thought?
I feel like that's the excuse that the cops get. You know, that's the same excuse that Chauvin was given, that he gave himself, that his defense attorney was given, and whoever is a supporter of Chauvin, a Trump supporter, a pedophile supporter, whatever supporter, that you know, and I think it was said already, you know what you're built for. And if you don't know, by the time you go through training, you know this ain't for me. I remember one of the girls, the ladies who used to come to church, she worked with the older disabled people. And I wasn't working anymore. No, right before I stopped working, but I wasn't really working. And she said, oh, Shanti, why don't you come and, you know, go to the interview? And I was like, have we met? Excuse me. And a few, like... I think you're disrespecting me by even bringing this to me. Like, okay, and a few other people was like, you know, Shanti, you should go to the zoo. And I said, you know what? I know I love the restaurant industry for many different reasons, But let me just go see about it. You know, maybe I'm just being too closed-minded. I went to the interview and left there and pretty much got the job. And I called her. She's like, how did it go? I said, went well. She's like, oh, when you start? And I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Not one disabled person was there. Not one rep who worked with her was there who gave us a story, or whether the story was good or bad or a mixed story. But I just knew that was not for me. So why am I going to put myself in enough money in the world for me to put myself in that industry, in that field, knowing that, and these people done spit on you, they fight you, they all... If you even look at me wrong, I'm going to have an accident. So I'm not even going to do it to myself. I'm not going to do it to them. I'm not going to do it to their families. I'm just going to save everyone the time and the trouble and the trauma. And I'm just going to stick to what I'm good at, which is the restaurant industry. That's what I'm going to do. So I think it's very tacky and such a cop-out to say, well, everybody's human. But stop taking the phone and stop lying to yourself and saying that you like this, or this is what you're good at, or you can do this, or whatever your motives are, whether it's money or status or whatever, this is not the arena for you. You need to find what you're good at and what you're able to do and stick to that, because now you done brought so much onto yourself and caused so much grief in other families. I think it was said already, and I agree, again, if it was on this side of the fence, it wouldn't have to be your child. You ready to go up there and turn up just because your child was in the class of the child who got hit. So you don't even know what you're starting. All because you can't be honest with yourself. All because you're human. Nah. You can take that to no parent. You can tell them, oh, well, they're human. You take that to no parent.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Pastor Phil, can I respond to that, just to put a statement on it?
Absolutely.
It's funny because I'm listening to everybody, and it's funny because that's what I hear all the time of people who don't work with children, who don't understand. I'm going to give you a perfect example, and it's a true story. And I want everybody on this panel to be honest with yourself and answer it, because I'm listening to what Shantice is saying, and she's saying that, okay, it's an excuse. Whatever job you in, you are human. I don't care if this is your passion or what you do. Somebody can make you go across that line. I'll give you a perfect example. And this happened to me, I'll say, 2 years ago. All right? So let's just say, I'm just going to use you as an example, Pastor Steph. Let's just say
Okay. You're
a teacher. So you're not Pastor Steph no more. You're Teacher Steph. And
okay.
I'm here. I said, Miss Steph, I need you to watch the kids in the cafeteria, because we know that there's no running in the cafeteria because we don't want the kids to get hurt. I want you to watch the kids in the cafeteria. Okay, Principal Al, I'm going to go watch these kids. Now, this is what happened to me, but I'm putting you in the place. So you go in the cafeteria. This kid, he's a fifth grader. He's running through like crazy. So you stop him. Listen, you need to stop running. You're breaking rules, whatever. He goes over to another kid. Now keep in mind, you love what you do now. You go over to this other kid. He goes over to the other kid, start pulling the kid, hat pushing, basically kind of bullying the kid. So you step in again. Hey, listen. Bro, you got, calm down. You can't do that. You need to sit down and relax yourself. F you, Pastor Steph, or Miss Steph, F you. Okay, you say, okay, whatever, but you need to sit down and stop running. So he goes over, start bullying another kid. This kid start crying. Now you step, okay, you know what? You're going too far. We're going to take you to the principal office because we're going to have to call your parents because you acting like you got no sense, and this is ridiculous. So I'm going to write you up, and we go, you go to walk away. And he slapped the you-know-what out of you. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Grab him.
What happens?
I grab him.
Right. Now you,
do I hit him?
Okay, now listen.
Do I hit him?
Mm-hmm.
No. But do I snatch you up? Absolutely.
Right. Now guess what? When you snatch him up, you're still getting in trouble because you're not supposed to put your hands on him. You see what I'm saying?
No, absolutely not. No, that's two different issues. I don't see them as the same.
Right.
I personally don't see it as the same. Now, maybe the other panelists...
You don't, but you will get charged the same.
No, you're not going
to
get charged the same, Brother Al. There's nowhere in the world that they're going to charge you.
I just went through it.
But you put your hand... So you going to jail because... Now, I'm not saying you snatched them up and dragged them around like Raggedy Ann. Now, we ain't talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about now...
I know what you're talking about.
I'm snatching you because you're not gonna hit me anymore. You're not gonna slap me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They are not taking me to jail and charging me with abuse because, right, you're not charging me with abuse or slapping a child upside the head. Let's look at the offense we're talking about.
No, I'm not.
We're talking about the lady smacked, she smacked this kid upside the head three times. That is not the same as restraining a child. So, yeah, you may be, you know, they said, well, you know what, you should not have restrained him, but you're sure not going to be able to, you're sure not going to be able to say that I slapped him upside the head three times. I'm not saying there would be no response. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there, you're not taking me to jail for that.
Right. And the thing is, I'm not saying that's the same. Y'all going back to another story. I'm past that story. I'm talking about where people think that people are bad people. Everybody who knows me know I love kids. People have
seen things. I've gotten an award for working with kids. Stop. So hold on a minute.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Because I think the water is getting a little muddy here.
You're missing the point of what I'm saying.
And that's why I said I think the water is getting a little muddied as far as us misunderstanding. You gave an example of restraint. We're not talking about you're a bad person, or we're not charging you with anything as regular people for restraint. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, what we're responding to, is we're responding to the teachers who are literally hitting the children. That's what we're responding to.
Right.
We didn't say anything about restraining. We're talking about
Right.
Go ahead.
I understand. I'm going off what Shanti said, is that it is an excuse that people are human. When people use the thing, oh, they're human because I'm not even talking about hitting. What I'm saying is that, just quickly, I'm a person, everybody who know me know I love kids, know I get along with kids, know everything is, this is what my passion is. But I can get upset at times too. Did that make me a bad person? Now, the story I just gave you, right, that happened to me. Kids slapped the you-know-what out of me. Now, I lost it for a second because he caught me off guard like, yo, he just slapped me in my face, and then he went, wow. And I grabbed him to restrain him, right? Grabbed him to restrain me. Do you know how much hell I went through for just grabbing to restrain him? This is what I'm
sure
talking about.
Did.
Now, the newspaper and the article, you know the article. They love it. Oh, man at school, he grabs up a fifth grader. What happened? Now, our name is all bad. Not hearing the whole story that this kid slapped me. But all they saw was that, okay, you know what? This man grabbed this kid, and that's all that you hear. And that's what I'm trying to say, that everybody's not bad. I mean, they had me go to a court in the whole nine. And this kid slapped me. Slapped the mess out of me. But I went through the river, just passing him. Oh, I'm going to come up and kick Mr. Owls behind. And I'm sitting there like, wow, this kid slapped me and I restrained him. So that's what the point that I was getting at, not saying that, making an excuse. Yeah, them people who hit those kids and do that, of course. But I'm just saying, just because you hear a story don't mean that that person is bad, because they dragged me through the river. When I couldn't be around kids, no nothing. Everything that I love to do, they took it away from me because this kid slapped me and went wild, and I grabbed him to restrain him. So this is what I'm trying to get through to people's head. Not everybody is bad. Now, should I not work with kids? That's my passion. But you know what? I'm human too. This kid slapped me. He slapped me. Now, I could have lost it for a minute and hurt this kid. And then what happened? Now, everybody, oh, he beat up a little kid, this, that. No, I'm human. He slapped me in my face, and I lost it for a second. You know, and I did lose it for a second. Like, it was just, my kids don't hit me. And this little dude slapped the you-know-what out of me. So it was just like,
okay,
wow.
So wait,
but
let me
I caught myself.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Wait, hold on, Shanti. Let me ask you a question.
I'm listening.
If you just the only thing you did was restrain the child. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Is the only thing you did was restrain the child?
That's the only thing I did.
Then,
yes.
Okay, so then can I be honest with you? In my personal opinion, I don't see you as losing.
Uh-huh.
I don't see you as losing.
Right.
You just termed it. You said I lost it for a moment. Personally, I don't see it as you losing it. I see you as responding, and if you only restrained him, then you did not lose it, in my opinion. So that's even
I got,
a terminology.
I got you, man.
So that's even a terminology that you use yourself that I wouldn't even classify as someone losing it. So, again, we're talking about it being subjective. So, unfortunately, that's why I said the water is muddied here, because we're talking about everything is relative and subjective to who is actually weighing in on the situation. So when we're talking about, well, these are bad people, I don't think any of us on this line has ever blanketed or blanketly just said these are bad people. We hear, and that's why I think this is so crucial that we have these conversations, because we're talking from a different angle of the regular street mentality. You're talking, we're using, as far as I understand, we're using biblical principles. If we're supposed to be a Christian people, we're using biblical concepts. So when we talk here on this broadcast, I don't see any of us ever blanketly saying, well, these are bad people, because I'm still coming back to that one, because I have my own theory about that. So I'm still coming back. But, Shanti, you wanted to respond.
Yes, really quick. Brother Al, she pretty much said it, but, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, you are describing two very opposite sides of the spectrum. When you're talking about, what was one of the stories? A baby stopping at the toilet, and now the teacher's making the baby clean it with their hands and all of that. You're bad, okay? And it goes back to being honest with yourself. If you know a situation like yours where you have to defend yourself, because that's exactly what that was, then I don't care how anybody else classified you. You knew what you dealt with at that time, and now you take the proper procedures to now move forward with that situation or that case or whatever it was. We're talking about these teachers who are out here just straight losing it for whatever reason. So if you know that that wasn't you, and same thing, like I said, with the cops. There are cops who have had to, at a split second, make a decision. Listen, it's self-defense. It's either me or you. So I'm going to have to pull out my weapon and shoot you before you kill me, because that's your goal. We're not talking about these cops who shoot the people in the back or just shoot them for no reason. You know what your intention and your motives were. You know what you did. And there's a whole lot more of these type of teachers than the type of teacher like you and anyone else who genuinely do their job properly. So we have to make sure that we're not infusing everything, because anything we do talk about has always been a case-by-case basis and analyzing exactly what's going on. That's why I said there wasn't even a case of, okay, this child hit her and she hit them back and now they're reprimanding her. You have issues. You got mad that he said or did something and now you're physically touching him. Completely different. You really have to make sure that you're opening up and looking at what it is. And if everybody would be a lot more honest with themselves, it would help to analyze a whole lot even more.
Right.
Okay.
And
Thank you,
I agree with you totally. What I was saying, I agree with all of y'all totally. I was not comparing that, because of course that's something totally different. What I was just saying, because you have people who think that way. My thing was just open up the audience to say to them that not all people's story. You have to look at the full story. That was my purpose of saying that, because you got people who think that way. Oh, all teachers are messed up. And it's not that case. We deal with a lot dealing with these kids. Like you said, if you can't handle it, you shouldn't be in it. But also too, like you said, a person like me who've been doing this over 20 years, you know, things happen and you do it like, yo, hold up. You know, like I said, I did catch myself. What about the person who didn't? Because sometimes, if you look at it, if somebody slapped you in your face, your first reaction is to swing back. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, I would have did this. You never know until you're in that situation. You walk, somebody just punch you. Your reaction is to protect yourself. So thank God that I caught myself and I just restrained him, but I still went through the water. Now, if I would have hit him, it would have been crazy. Now, you'd have read the story. Like I said, they had it all around the whole district. Oh, Al grabbed up this kid and this and that. Nobody knew the whole story. Now, I'm looking bad, I mean, which I didn't care, because I know, and the Lord know, I did the right thing. But I'm not trying to compare the stories. I just want people to understand that not everybody is bad that have something happen. That was my whole purpose.
Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you.
Yes,
Tamika, I'll give you an opportunity to respond. Did I lose you?
Sorry.
Are you
can you hear me?
Oh,
I apologize.
Yes, yes, yes. So we can hear you.
Okay. All right. My thing is, when we're discussing a response, that is something I understand that, and I clearly hear that these people are not bad people. And then there are situations where the news will give a perspective. There was an adult teacher that I believe was teaching teens, and a child hit the teacher. Now, we're talking about that's one situation. That's far left. But what we're discussing are teachers that basically are misfit for these areas. You know, the average teacher doesn't respond in when the toilet is backed up, you stick their hand in the toilet. The average teacher doesn't think about assaulting a student. Yes, you get frustrated. Yes, you get angry. I've worked, you know, in a setting with the Boy Scouts, and so I had all boys, and they tore down our bathroom. I don't know what it was that they wanted to do, but that was something that they chose to do. And, you know, we didn't respond in hitting. We just rebuilt. You know, there's a certain mentality, and you have to know, when you get around more than two children and it starts to agitate you, maybe that's not the feel for you. If you are, you know, or if you're around one child and they look at you a certain way and it annoys you, or, you know, there's a certain technique or there's a certain dynamic that you have to have within you, and you know it. You know, I love children. I absolutely positively love them. I have a friend of mine who has, you know, a good handful of children. She has a football field, let's put it that way. And I love every single one of them, but I verbally told her I can only deal with two of your children at one time, because that's not me. You know, I love them, but you have to have a certain mentality. You have to have there's a certain something about you that you shine when you're around children. And so when somebody is laughing or jesting and your response is to respond by hitting, even though you had that de-escalation moment because you verbally said that there was another teacher that said, you need a moment. You know, she gave her that window. She or he, whoever the other teacher was, gave the window that said, "Here's your de-escalation moment. You can walk away. You know, here's that moment." And she chose not to. That was her choice. And so with that, you have to realize, you know, whether you're equipped for this. And I'm not saying, again, the teachers that respond to something that has happened is something totally different than you reaching out and extending your hand to somebody who's done nothing to you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tamika, for responding. Minister AJ, laying back in the cut, do you have something that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think I'd rather be a teacher than a clown. You know, if all you is getting is slapped, you know, all jokes aside, you're talking to somebody also who has, 20 years of experience of clowning. And I'm telling you, you see some stuff clowning. I was doing a show one time, and I'm on a stage. The kids wasn't even, like, up on a stage with me. The place was huge, and, you know, and I'm doing a show, and the kids got up from where they was sitting, and they were so excited with what I was doing, they were knocking me over while I was doing the show. Now, you want to talk about trying to have composure? You're in the middle of a show doing magic, and kids are knocking you over. And I said, wait a minute. If you're going to knock me over, I'm going to have to stop the show. And I was working for another agency. It was so bad, because every agency has their own clientele. I don't care what you say. And they would send me to the worst neighborhood. And I had one of my friends who would travel with me, but he wasn't like an assistant. He was more like a bodyguard. And he would have to push the kids off me. Listen, hey, you're getting a little too rough, yada, yada, yada. You know, and when the agency heard that he was traveling with me, they started paying him. You know what? That means they understood they already knew what I was going through. And, you know, one time I'm doing a show, my assistant canceled, and the kid said, let's throw SpongeBob in the pool. Am I lying? and guess what? I can't swim. But my whole point of all of that is you've got to know what you're dealing with, and you've got to look at the state of the child. I would say, Brother Al, be on guard. Listen, you ain't going to slap me. I got to see this coming. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to know you as a person, and I've done hundreds of shows where I was up against not only the kids, but the drunk uncle in the back, you know, telling me, I don't know what I'm doing. He's drunk. He don't even know what I'm doing. He's so drunk. So I'm just saying, you got to know and gather yourself as a person because you know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with children. And I've worked with youth departments where I knew more about the kids than the parents did, you know, going up to schools, pulling report cards. So I think I've seen a whole lot, you know, in my little short life, but you got to know what you're dealing with. You got to know. And not only that, let's think about what the kids are dealing with. Sometimes, you know, when I'm doing a crazy show and these kids are crazy, sometimes I'm like, you know what? Maybe they just don't have the home training. Do your best, AJ. Try to talk to them nice because ain't nothing worse than an angry clown. And I know by the end of some show, my face is like twisted. By the time I'm making a balloon, oh, it's over. It's a wrap. Somebody like, he done went from, you know what I mean? The most pleasant clown to now, he's got a clown from it. So I understand, but you got to hold your... Yeah. You got to hold it.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
I thank all of you for your response. So here's Pastor Steph. Let's talk about Pastor Steph. One thing about me, I don't muddy the water. I'm very calculated when I speak, and I'm gonna say why I say that. Because you get responses like, well, they're not bad people. We cannot muddy the water here. And it has been said by all three other panelists, and I'm glad that they spoke. That's why I said I wanted to wait till last. That is not a quote for this particular circumstance. That's why I said don't muddy the water. The instance that we were given that was experienced where we just heard, like I said, honestly, you didn't lose it. The person didn't lose it. It was a response. We have yet to on this broadcast. I'm very funny about what I bring. I do not bring warranted responses. I make it very clear what we bring here. What we bring here, we're bringing these children are being attacked, and that's what it is. I have never brought, except for the one time when I talked about the little girl and the grandmama said that, you know, maybe she has sleep apnea. That was one of maybe the only rare times that the children were the first persons to throw the blow. Now, any other time that I can remember in this entire year that I brought an instance where the children did something that warranted these people's response. That's not the case we were given today. Well, you know, they hit me. No, that's don't even bring that to the table as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to say it just like that. You can't bring something like that to the table because to say they're not bad people is two different things. First of all, you're also dealing with a school system that has a blanket set of rules. That's another thing that we have to think about here. That's why I said we have to be very calculated. The school system just has a simple level of rules. They're going to take you through hell, plain and simply, because they really don't know who you are. And they are forced to deal with people who are hurting the children, and they have to respond in a certain manner. So now whether you've never had that kind of charge, whether that was the only time that something like that happened, yeah, they're coming after you. So that's why I said that's still, to me, two different things. Because we're talking about someone who legitimately responded, but now they have to treat you as though you attacked a child, just in case there was some malice behind it. So they have to just do these things just because they've got to be, at the end of the day, make sure that people know that they followed a certain channel. That ain't what we're talking about here. Don't muddy the waters. We have been talking about these people who have been, these teachers who have been seriously charged with things that the children were innocent of. Now, not that they didn't do anything, but they were innocent enough not to be hit, not to be treated the way these teachers have been treated. Are they bad people? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Because I'm looking at a Bible that tells me so. I'm looking. Now, we're not talking about, well, you lost it. No. Because, again, I want you to remember that the Bible verse says, you're unstable in all your ways. If she smacked that kid in the head three times, something else is going on in her life that she's also responding to in a negligent manner. Does that make her a bad person? According to my Bible, it does. See, we do too much separating. That's the problem. I'm looking at a Bible that tells me that when you know to do right and you know it's a sin, but you do it anyway, you're sinful. That's what the Bible tells me. And I can apply it right here to this instance. You know you ain't had no business slapping that kid in the head three times. You know that it's illegal to hit that child as a teacher. It's illegal to hit that child in the head three times. She knew that. If she quote-unquote lost it, at that moment, she is losing it in other areas of her life. That's what the Bible is telling me. And I think we need to start equating this Bible to our lifestyle. And I have said it a million times, based on what this Bible is telling me, we are pacifying too much. We are downplaying too much. I'm personally tired of hearing they're not bad people. I'm going to be honest. Because I'm looking at a Bible that tells me something very different. Are we talking about a Christian person? Probably not. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. You ain't got to be Christian to be a teacher. No, that's not the requirement. However, we're talking about responding to things that we know you can do better. And again, I'm going to bring out what Tamika and Shantice brought out. Here you have a person. All the child did was mimic. Now, probably the whole day was going bad. I'm not saying that it won't happen, because we all end up in that predicament where things go wrong. However, the lady asked you, she specifically said, I'm going to take care of this. And you came back and said, no, I got this. And that was your I got this? And you're challenging that this is not a bad person? Absolutely not. So for those of you who think that this is not a bad person, who thought that the alternative to hit the child in the head or on any part of the body, the difference between Brother Al snatching up a child was an immediate response. This was not an immediate response. There was a break here. Mm-hmm. There was a break that God gave you to settle the matter. So you know what? If this child was mimicking me and that pissed me off that bad, and somebody said, you know, Steph, you want me? Go ahead. Please, 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 please take her. Because right now, I'm not in a good place right now. You had an out. When the child stuffed the toilet up, you actually planned to send this child to a toilet bowl and had them fish through the nasty toilet. I don't even think the people who committed crimes should have to put their nasty hands in a toilet. And I'm going to say that this is not a bad person. What kind of heart do you have to even send a person? I wouldn't send a dog to fish through a nasty toilet. We're going to have to look at this Bible hard, and we're going to have to call it what it is. We're going to have to assess the, and that's is why I tell you, God, a whole lot of people, God has already said, going to be in his face saying, Lord, 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 didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And he's going to say, oh, you workers of iniquity, go ahead and step back and get out of my face. I'll see you later. Because he's not accepting all of this garbage that's going on out here. We're not as guiltless as we think we are. We're not innocent. And we're going to have to begin to look at this stuff and say, you know what? This, according to the Bible, that this, I'm looking at John 8:34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. He didn't say if you commit one sin. He said commits sin. But here's what we want to say. At least I didn't kill nobody. I only stole from the candy store. I only stole, you know, from the supermarket because my family needed to eat. No, we have to start. We have to stop downplaying this stuff, and we're going to have to start looking at things on a higher level than the average person, because that's what we're charged to do. That's what we're charged to do. I'm sorry, and this has been something that God has been eating at me. Because I have to, this is my charge in my life. And God has had to show me some stuff. And one of the things that I have had to, and it's funny that we should walk into that, because I tell people, stop saying people ain't bad. Yes, I've had to tell Anika a million times, stop saying that. Bad is as bad does. Go look at your Bible and let the Bible tell you. It ain't Stephanie's words. Go back and look at the Bible and tell you. So I'm going to give everybody a chance to close so we can quickly move on to, and that's going to be my closing, because we have our new segment that we have to go through. So, Brother Al, we started with you. You can give a closing to these people who are guilty, not the innocent ones, people who are guilty.
Yes, the people that are guilty definitely should face the penalty of the crime. Again, everything what you said was absolutely true. You know, if you go to the extreme, or you stepping over the line, and you hitting kids, or you saying, okay, I'm mad, so you're going to pick this up, or you're going to do this and that, they're definitely bad people, definitely 100% bad people. And you should think about another career if you going to step over the line. Like you said, she had an opportunity. You had a window to be out, and you decided not to do it. So you deliberately had in your mind that I'm going to get this kid regardless of whatever the situation was. So if you're in that position and you can't handle it, then you definitely should look to try to find you a different career.
All righty. Thank you, Brother Al, for joining us today and enhancing our Therapeutic Thursday. Have a blessed one. Have a blessed one. All right, girl Tamiko, how are you closing today?
I'm going to close with just know who you are and know what you can do. You pretty much know within you whether you can deal with those type of situations. And if there are triggers, you know, if there's that I'm going to get this child back for such and such, or you got an anger. You know, we're talking about also relationships. If you got an anger with your mate, or if you're competing between, you know, for love with the mate and the child, then you need to separate yourself. You know, and I'm talking about the individual who has issues. You know, we're not talking about somebody who is responding. We're specifically talking about somebody who has issues, and you know it. You personally know it when you are around children and you start making faces or you feel something within you that's not in a happy frame, then you know that it's time to back up and do what's right. And so my thing is, you know who you are and know when something is not directly for you, you know. And especially as a profession, this is something that you're going to do more than 8 hours a day. You know, a lot of times we don't realize it, but we spend more time at work. And so that means if you're going to spend more time with children and you're not comfortable in that environment, then back out. And that's basically my close.
Well, thank you so much for in the enhancement of our Therapeutic Thursday. We done turned this whole day around. Thank you so much, Tamika. Thank you for joining us. Minister AJ, what you got for us in our closing today?
Know who you are in God and know who you are outside of having God. Let me use me. I'm a different person when I'm not consistent in God and when I don't take God with me. Like the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, you know, and that gives me another level of confidence and ability knowing that I'm taking God with me. Doesn't matter what your profession is, take God with you. Your responses is different. The way you handle people is different. But I notice that when I'm not consistent with God or I'm not praying the way I should, my response is different. And when things get under my skin, my response is different. So if you want to respond the right way, take God with you and be consistent with God.
All righty. Thank you for enhancing our Therapeutic Thursday, Minister AJ. And may you have a blessed one. Thank you. Shantice, how are you closing out this segment?
I think everyone should pay very close attention to the fact that we're still in a pandemic. And even though man said we should resume certain things, we don't know if God said. And this could very well be part of the repercussions of that, because we have our own agenda. And God said, he may still be saying, I still want everything on complete lockdown, but since y'all want to kumbaya, then let me show y'all how y'all going to choose to kumbaya. And like it was said, you know, be honest with yourself. You know when something is either no longer for you or if it wasn't for you from the jump. You know if you need time off. And again, the pandemic and the isolation, the quarantine, it was giving everyone the break that a lot of people, especially a lot of adults, do not know how to take. So even though you're a teacher and this may be your passion and all of that, you may need a serious break because of other things that are going on in your life. And because people do not accept the fact that you will not be only one way in only one part of your life, you think you're going to be stressed out and abusive at home, but then when you go to work, you're going to be cool. It just don't work like that. And God has given a nice close-up as to how when you don't deal with things properly, how quickly and easily it will slither its way through to another area of your life. So we just have to make sure that we're paying. And also, we have to, which I think is still very disgusting, a lot of these parents who use school as an out so that they don't have to deal with the children. And now this is what your child is dealing with, whether it's happening to your child directly or to another child in the school or in the class. And Minister AJ always used to joke about it all the time, and now, you know, it's always been real, but now it's even more real. This is what happens when you're not allowed to walk in promoting or claiming Christianity. When you are so against God even being said in a school, you know, I can go into school as a transgender and read to the kids, but God forbid I walk in and say, God bless you, now you're ready to kick me out. I can't come in here and pass out anything that's not even God-related. You know, but and this is what happens. So, again, we have to really make sure we're understanding what God needs us to do, and whether we like it or not, he has these things in place for a reason. And whenever we hit override, these are the stories that we have to unfortunately hear.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. All right, you hold on. I'm keeping your mic live. But thank you so much again, Brother Al. Thank you, Tamika. And thank you, Minister AJ. And Brother Al, let me say that I am so sorry that you experienced the slap as well as the response from the school system. I know what it's like to, you know, be in that situation where the stuff that they're accusing you of or, you know, they're digging through doesn't even exist for you. But because that's the way of the world, you know, you know, we know how much you love the kids, and you would never do that. So I'm so sorry to even hear you had to go through that, honestly, which is annoying because enough time is not spent on the teachers that are guilty.
Mm-hmm.
What always ends up happening. So you keep up your good work with them kids. God knows what you do in secret. He's going to reward you openly, and that my Bible says as well. So you may not have gotten the accolades and the good treatment from the personnel at the school or the powers that be, but God knows, and he will deal with that accordingly. He will openly reward you. So have no fear. Have no fear. All right, so, Shantese, we have our new segment on Thursdays, so we got a few minutes to do what we do. What you got for us today?
Okay, so today we have Pray for Them and the celebrity that I thought we should focus on for this week is Aisha Curry. And initially she came to mind because a few months back you went over the story of her nude photo that she posted for her magazine and how prior to that she was criticizing other women for doing it. And now all of a sudden, bam, you pop out with this nude photo. And I guess because none of her body parts were actually showing, that was, and because her husband chose which picture to be posted, you know, put out there, that it was okay. It wasn't like the other women she was talking about. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. I didn't read that verbatim, but, you know, knowing people and how they try to justify things, especially after they've already put their mouth on that very thing. That's just what I came up with. And I was on her Instagram page last night, and I know that she was doing cooking. You know, like she has a cookbook, and she did cooking stuff on TV. I didn't know she had a wine brand. She has her own wine brand. And I was like, well, I'm confused. If you're a Christian and you're professing Christianity publicly, how are you now promoting and owning a wine brand and taking pictures with the drink of the day? And then another photo she had, oh, this is my margarita, something. And I'm just like, and then I went into the, you know, her bio, because a lot of times, you know, before I go to follow someone, I read your bio. And one of the things that I started saying out loud is, God, I have to make sure that I'm not treating you like a trend, because that's what you are right now. In the world, you're a trend. It's the thing now to put God first, believer, or a verse in my bio, but then in my photos, you see me with a drink, you see me with my booty out, you see me doing all this worldly stuff, but then that's in the bio. And it's like, what kind of, you know, you're a public figure. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful woman. You have a Christian husband who's in the NBA, the sports arena, which that alone requires all your prayer time. And now it's like you're opening the door for so much to now attack you and for you to easily be led astray, because now you're drinking and you're promoting drinking. And, you know, a lot of people, they believe that, you know, I could be Christian, but it's only wine, you know, that I can drink. It's nothing. And it's like, no, you know, especially when we have to understand that, you know, whether we're in the public eye or not, we're in the public eye as Christians. And there's a verse that says that we have to make sure we're not making our brother stumble. So let's just say for me, I can have a glass of wine every now and then, and it could be like I'm drinking Kool-Aid. But for you, a glass of wine could open you up to a myriad of other liquors or anything else, you know, and I've officially become a stumbling block. You know, so I just feel like we really need to pray for her, pray for her husband, pray for their union, and really just pray on what she's promoting and what they're promoting ultimately.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Shantese, for giving us that spotlight today. You've made some very valid points. So in the short amount of time we have, let's just go before the Lord on behalf of the Currys, primarily Aisha Curry. Okay. Where's my... Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for just being the awesome wonder you are. We thank you, God, for even the conversation today where you were able to just kind of sort through everything and how we just muddy the waters. And God, here's another area where your waters are muddy. We want to call ourselves Christians, but yet we seem to forget how we must appear before your people. Your word says to abstain from all appearance of evil, all appearance of evil. So even holding that wine glass, God, could send a very different message than what she's ultimately designing to send. We lift Aisha Curry before you, dear Heavenly Father, as we have spoken about her before, and we've heard her insecurities, God. We've heard her concerns. And, Lord, we're just going to lift her up before you, God, for you to handle everything that's going on in her and around her, dear Heavenly Father. She's a mother. She's a personality in the limelight of people, God. So we're asking you to just clear away all the muddied areas. The things that she's thinking is okay, we ask you to clarify that for her. God, maybe some weaknesses that she may have, we ask you, God, to have her deal with that in secret. Not that she's perfect, but because we just have a certain way that we have to present ourselves as children of the King. Lord, we've talked about this on this broadcast so often. The things that we just can't do before people, before man, because they can't handle it, that you're working on her right now. But if that's worked on in the public, it can do more damage than it could possibly do good. We're trusting you, God, that if she's saying that her heart is with you, that her motive is to be with you, that she's seeking and she's hungering after and thirsting after righteousness, that her heart and her mind is there. But she just needs to be cleaned up, God. So we pray for her. We lift her up before you, God, because we're with her. We're not here to bash her. We're not here to talk about her. We're not doing what the other people do. We're not doing what the world does, dear Heavenly Father. We're not doing what the other broadcasts are doing, God. But we're lifting her up before you, God, because we're praying that you would just move her along so that one of the few people in this world, there's not many of us here in the limelight, well, people pay attention to, people listen to. She's out there. She's on TV. She's got media going on. She has to spend her time publicly with you in a special way. She's got to spend her time publicly with the people a certain way, because there's not many of us out here speaking openly about you. There are not many of us declaring that we are children of yours. So, Lord, we're just asking you to help her fine-tune those things so that she can really be the example that you have called her to be. Because we know that she can, and we know, just like was quoted a little while ago, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Lord, the nudity that she thought she was displaying that was classy, we have to take care of our temples just a little better. So, Lord, we're just asking you to just surround her with other people who are stronger than she is, people who can be people of light, people who can love her in a special way that she would listen to, God, while we're praying for her. We ask you, God, to just be with her husband, who is the head of the household, who is the priest over her life, dear Heavenly Father. And we're asking you, God, for him to be raised up at this moment so he can lead his wife accordingly. that it's not just about, you know, pursuing things with her and helping her to build her confidence, but it's about speaking for you first. And let us all learn that lesson here today, that when we want to speak, we go to your word first. And that's what he needs to do. He needs to guide her according to your word, not just because he's her husband. So we ask you, God, to just bless the family, bless the fact that you have put them out there. You've allowed them to be out there, and that they can make the difference that they have been designed to make. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray that you receive this with the purity of our hearts that we come to you in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah, thank you, Shantice, for introducing that segment. This is our second week into this, and this is going to help us. This is going to help us, you know, look at people differently. Again, we're not bashing people here, but we're going to lift them up because they need prayer. They need our prayer. They say the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we want to be on the right side of this thing here. We don't want to be on the wrong side and be looked at bad. And, yeah, Pastor Steph comes across real tough because I've walked this journey, and I've seen so much. I, too, started off with children very early. I was 16 years old working in Bronx Children's Psychiatric Center. So ain't nobody got to tell me what it's like to work with some tough kids. These children were declared mentally ill, and I had the babies. That, as a matter of fact, that's where Shantice gets her name from. So, you know, that's how early I got started, very early, you know. And I give God thanks because, again, you know, he uses all the things that you've been through in life, and he enhances it when you give your life to him. And I'm tough because there's not enough tough leaders out here. Everybody wants to pacify and, you know, make you feel good. And you, no, because we don't have that much time. And I'm not even saying it in the vein of, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. Because, I got something with that, too. Yes, we keep telling people, you know, get it right because, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. The bigger issue is we who are living here in 2021 will probably not be here when Jesus returns because all the stuff that has to take place ain't taking place tomorrow. So just in the event that we won't be here when Jesus comes here, it doesn't matter. We have to get it right now because tomorrow could be our end date. Later on could be our end date. And we're so busy worrying about getting it right before Jesus returns that we're missing the fact that God could close our eyes at any given moment. And whatever and however you were doing, what you were doing, that's what you're going to be charged with when Jesus returns. That Lamb's Book of Life is either going to have your name or it's not. Because you were watching the clock and trying to figure out when Jesus was going to return. So, see, that's the preacher thing to say. You know, Jesus is going to return and, you know, get your life right. Nope, I'm up in the ante. That's why I said to you, I'm a lot more tough. I'm up in the ante. If Jesus is not really due to return until 2062, will you still be here? Well, I could tell you right now, if I'm 54 in 2021, I will not be here in 2062 because I'm just going to age out. I ain't living that long. We don't live that long anymore. However, it does matter if I die tomorrow and I don't know I'm dying. I got to work on who Stephanie is today. That's the date that I really need to pay attention to. So, you know, like I said, I'm a little tougher than the average person. But that's because I'm dealing with a whole lot more than the average person. Yeah, I'm knee-deep in stuff, knee-deep in people. So, taking it all in love. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And, oh, I thank my due time crew for such a conversation today. And I know lives will be changed. If we could help change one life, we have done the job that God has called us to do. Keep in mind, accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, oh, God spares life, and we celebrate Freestyle Friday. I love you.